Good morning. I have a friend whose cell phone ringtone is the Ode to Joy. And I just want to let you know that that's not what we mean by making a joyful noise to the Lord. So if you would take anything electronic that makes noise and turn it off, we can come into the Lord's presence and get that sense of centeredness and peace that we need. Now, we do allow other joyful noises. We singing, dancing, yep, I'm in for that. But it would be really nice if the phones weren't going off during service. Please enjoy Arlen's prelude. Kathy's got the prelude today. Sorry about that. That was truly lovely. We have some announcements today. Three times since I came in the door, I have been reminded to remind you that October 11th from 4:30 to 6, the Disciples Women's Ministry is offering a tailgate party for the NCKW game. So if we imagine this is the big truck that runs, runs us where we're at, Then the tailgate is the fellowship hall. And that's where the dinner's going to be, because who knows what the weather's going to be. So whether you're going to the game or not, please come and help us enjoy hot dogs and beans and chips and those sort of things. And if 4:30 is too early, come when you can. And enjoy this time of fellowship. Before you leave the building today, please sign up that you're coming so that the women know how much food to prepare. And this is the women are doing this. This is not potluck. You don't have to worry about scrambling to the store to get potato salad because you forgot all about it. Just come and enjoy. The other announcement, the Disciple Women's Group 3 is not meeting this week at the Fire Rock. They're meeting next week at the Fire Rock. So if you show up, you'll have a nice dinner, but you won't have the same kind of group you were expecting to be there. Madison, you have an announcement for us?
My name is Madison Brown, and I'm with Girl Scout Troop 1258. This fall, we are selling nuts and candies that make great holiday gifts. The money raised will help fund a trip to stay overnight at the Denver Aquarium. That's right, we'll be sleeping with the fishes. I'll be sitting at the table during coffee hour if you would like to order any. Thank you.
Amber?
Hello, I come to you as worship chair. It was brought to my attention or suggested that instead of selecting certain people's birthdays on that date, that we celebrate everybody's birthday for that month on the first Sunday of the month, and I think that's a great idea. So because it's October and my birthday is in October, we're going to start with October. Just kidding. Just kidding. So this month we have Cal Decker and Monica Decker, Marie Henthorne, Marianne Kane, Bryant Badger, Mark Williams, Kellen Johnson, Sarah Williams, Carmen Goodman, Vanita Wilson, Brian Black, Chuck Potter, and Randy Sue Davis for birthdays, and then Lee and Virginia Yon and Chuck and Susie Stewart for anniversaries. And we're just going to do one big happy birthday song for everybody's birthday in October.
Are there more announcements? Debbie.
Next Saturday, we won't need anybody's help with the sandwich industry because Laura and Grace are doing it, and they bring everything to King's Corner. I also announced that we're selling raffle tickets for two blankets that we raffled off so that he can go on visiting to Puerto Rico again.
Okay, so we will not need people for the sandwich ministry this coming Saturday. That is being handled by Sovereign Grace. Also, there are raffle tickets for sale, a couple of nice fleece blankets out there. The proceeds from that are going to help Keith Rouse on his mission trip to Puerto Rico. Anything else? Yes. Jackie, I couldn't see who it was back there. Can somebody help me? I didn't hear. Yeah. Okay. And we will find somebody to call. We've got a maintenance agreement on that, so we'll call somebody to figure out what's going on. Okay. If that is all, please stand, greet one another in Christian love, and then we'll, when we come back together, we'll be sharing hymn number 408, verses 1 and 3. Join us in the call to worship, please. Lord, we know that faith is no superpower. It is a gift from you.
It isn't a substance with quantity. It is using the quantity we have to your purpose.
We know that faith is trust in you, our Lord. Faith is being in the grip of the gravity of God's grace.
Lord, give us the faith to trust in your grace and guidance. Give us the faith that allows your light to shine through us.
Pray with me, please. Prince of Peace, today above all days, we come to you reminded that your house is far wider and far more diverse than anything we can contain in these four walls. Help us, Lord of Light, to expand our definitions of your people. Left to ourselves, we have enough trouble accepting the other in our own neighborhoods as brothers and sisters. Praise your holy name that we are not left to ourselves. Grant us the faith and the grace to open our hearts, our minds, and our lives to a world showered in your love. Teach us to love one another as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amber, are you going to announce what we're doing here?
We are going to sing our hymn of praise via a YouTube video. It's called Come to the Table. It's a little difficult to follow, but truly, the words are more important than trying to sing the tempo and the counting, okay? So please pay attention to the words, and the choir will do our best to help you out, okay? Come to the table.
Looking in, this is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door. To welcome to the older. All who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail, you've been forgiven. All who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let out, all the lost who have been found, all who've been labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears this song.
Children's time.
Is that yours? Congratulations. Wow, look at that. Now, what do I do with this?
No.
This is a trophy for winning something. But you know what? We have won something from God.
What is it?
Love? What else have we won from God? What else have we won from God? Hi. Somebody snuck in here and I didn't know. What else have we won from God?
I got this book yet.
Okay. Who can help out here? What else have we won from God besides love?
Sharing.
What?
Sharing.
Sharing. What else?
Faith.
Faith. Very good. What grace. Else? Biggie, it's a biggie, people.
Grace.
Grace. And what?
Salvation.
Wow. We don't need a trophy for that, do we?
Nope.
No. We have something else, though, that does help us remember. Anybody know what it is?
Oh, I'm going to hate myself.
Communion.
What? other people know that they were believers. So they had a special symbol in the ground, right? Remember what it is? The fish sign. Well, one person would, with their stick, draw this sign in the dirt. And if the other person was a believer of Jesus, they drew the other sign and made a fish, the sign of the fish. Then they knew they could talk about Jesus. If the other person did not fill in the fish sign, they'd get quiet. Today we don't have to be quiet, do we? No. We can tell everybody we love who? Jesus, right? And who else do we love?
God.
Why do we love God? Oh, because he made the world. We're going to talk about how he's in class, right? Okay, I get to give this basket to somebody. Could I have that? Thank you. Let's see. Who hasn't had the basket yet?
Me.
Oh, you know what? Next time, okay? All right? You have to take it home. Bring it back next week with something in. Don't tell him. Oh, dear. He's already thinking. All right, let's have a prayer, okay? Okay, let's hold hands. Everybody hold hands. Okay? All right. All right, let's hold my hand. All right. Let's repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
For your love, and
thank you for Jesus, who shows us how to love others. Be with us this week. In all that we do, and all that we say, in Jesus' name.
Our prayer concerns this week are listed in the back of the bulletin. Our card shower and our sympathy goes out to the family of June Breedemeyer as she passed away. So please fill out a prayer card to reach out to the family on that. Marie Robertson, she suffered a stroke. She's back home. Recovering. Her family's with her. They're keeping her in bed. So we pray for her. Are there other prayer concerns today to be lifted up? Keith? Right, the airplane crash back east. Debbie? Phil?
Prayers for a former coworker of mine who was recently let go. Prayers, something with Amber.
You bet. Cindy?
Karen's getting married in about 10 days. And prayers for a happy life for them. But also, on a slow simmer rather than an explosive meltdown. If you know Karen, you see.
And based on some of the bids of money that Cindy's shared with me, prayers for Steve's anxiety as well, as he pays for a wedding out in Oregon.
They need a third job.
Yeah, Steve's also looking for another job. Yes. Knee surgery tomorrow, Debbie. Belle.
Prayers of thanksgiving for my dad. He said he's starting to feel better now. He feels like he's on the mend. And prayers for Dan that came to church for me to find a home in Nevada.
In Nevada.
He moved to Nevada.
Moved to Nevada this week. Dan did. Steve.
My brother-in-law's getting married this week. So
prayers of joy for wedding for Steve's brother-in-law. Rick?
Prayers for Dave Baker, who's cancer.
Yes. You guys are kind of overwhelming me today. Chapel's prayer concern was that the lunch was moved for a week. Well, let's take all of our prayers to the Lord in a moment of silent prayer. Lord, we lift up our prayers to you today, both spoken and unspoken, both on our lips and both in our hearts. Lord, we ask that you bless these people who are present here today, and we ask that you bless those who can't be here through age, frailty, or sickness. Lord, we commend the children to your care, our young to your guidance, the married to your enriching, the aged to your support, the faint-hearted to your strengthening power, and the scattered to your shepherd's love. Lord, journey with all travelers. Help the bereaved, release the addicted, heal the sick. Lord, bring assurance to all those who are passing through trouble, need, or anxiety. Remember for good all who love us, those who care nothing for us, and those who have asked us to pray for them. Lord, there are surely some whom we've forgotten, but Lord, we know you'll remember them. For Lord, you are the helper of the helpless, the saver of the lost, the refuge for the wanderer, and the healer for the sick. Since you know each one's need and hear every prayer, we commend each one to your merciful grace and your everlasting love. Grant to us today that together we may praise your great name, now and forevermore. Amen. Before we move into our time of communion today, Debbie Mestis has a moment for mission for us.
Called Doors Are Opening, Be Reconciled. be reconciled, move together, heal together, bound together. How many of us know someone who has gone to their grave with a grudge or lived a significant portion of their lives estranged from loved ones? The impact of the resolve to never give in and to make others wrong in order to be right can live on for generations. Recently, one of our Disciples Care Ministries hosted a night of conversation about the history of racial discord in Omaha, Nebraska. The catalyst for the conversation was the publishing of the book, The Rhythm Boys of Central High at the 68 Racial Divide. Summarily, the book describes the events surrounding the school's first all-African-American basketball team in 1968. The events of the upheaval that occurred just before the team was to play in the state championship are still felt and seen in Omaha today. In the grant report to Reconciliation Ministry, the event organizers said, "The expressions on the faces of the students from all of the area high schools revealed surprise and disbelief as they listened. This event opened the door for conversation to continue with sensitivity and deeper understanding of the community where we live and serve." In our thematic scripture, Jesus says, "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." Matthew 5, 23 and 24. The assumption in the text is that reconciliation is an urgent disposition. The scripture says, "Before you do anything in worship, before you worship me with your gifts, be reconciled." God created us to live harmonious lives with each other. Current events with police community relations, worshipers being killed in Bible study, churches burning, and churches providing safe haven offer abundant opportunity to move together and heal together as the body of Christ. Through your generous giving, doors are opening. When you give to Reconciliation Ministry, you are supporting the development of young leaders, promoting conversation models for congregations and community groups, and enabling regional granting programs that enliven our camps and congregation ministry. Your giving ultimately restores the beloved community that is
inextricably
bound together in a network of mutuality, empowering all of God's family to be fully whole. We celebrate communion today with the Church Universal. Already for hours, people of faith have been taking bread and a cup and remembering the Lord's life, death, and resurrection. Customs, the sanctuaries, the complexions of those believers vary widely, but we are bound in unity by the overarching love of a God who took human form to share our joy and our pain, that he would truly be one of us. We are bound by the overarching love of God who suffered torture and pain and death to free us from the hell of our own making. Come, taste the love of Christ. Feast at the table set for us. And all who believe, if you cannot or choose not to come forward, deacons will serve you in your place. This is the table of the Lord. This is God's world and his people. Share with all believers on this worldwide communion day. Our hymn of communion is number 424. I'm going to eat at the welcoming table.
As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Most patient God, in humility we come before you with gratitude for our many blessings, especially for daily bread. Now we come to this communion time to remember Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. As we bring our individual prayers of commitment, fill us, O God, with the reality of your presence in our lives. You know our needs. Use us in your services in this week that lies ahead. Amen. Thank you.
Could you pray with me, please? Holy God, we cannot begin to understand the depths of your gifts to us. We ask that you take the gifts that we have offered here of heart and treasure and use us to heal a broken world. Let us be Christ's. Amen.
You're not worried about Harlan. He had a audition today with the symphony, and we didn't know if he was going to be back on time, so Kathy was prepared to do prelude and all that, and then Harlan got here and forgot all his music. So Kathy graciously filled in, so please thank her on the way out. We also have Trevor Turner here again this morning to play flute for us, and we are always blessed by her for beautiful music.
Our scripture reading today is Luke 22, 14 through 30. It is on page 86 of your Pew Bible if you care to follow along. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the wine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel."
Thank you, Bill. We continue reading in the New Testament this morning. We move over to John chapter 6, verses 25 through 40, and that can be found in your Pew Bible on page 98. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are not looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said unto him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." I kind of felt like I was the short notice fill-in guy with about over a week's notice that I needed to be up here today. And then you find out that Kathy just walks in and we're like, hey, we saved you a seat. It's right up here at the piano. So thank you, Kathy, for what you do for the church. My first position as an elder in the church was at First Christian Church in Laramie. I was very honored to be asked to serve the congregation in this way. I'd been serving as a deacon in that church for a while, which in Laramie, it's an interesting group, the diaconate. Their approach to who's on diaconate would take a lot of pressure off of our nominating committee here in Casper. Essentially, every adult in the congregation is considered a member of the diaconate. Strangely enough, though, for a university town, a church in a university town, the roles in the diaconate fell on the sides of gender. The women would prepare the communion, and the men would serve the communion. I don't know if this was on purpose or if it would just happen that way. I don't know if it was from an old time where only men served, or more likely, one of the men spilled juice when preparing communion and they were told they weren't allowed to do it anymore. What I do know, though, is that the ladies were a lot more organized. They had a sign-up sheet, and that sign-up sheet was always filled out for months ahead. The gents, well, us gents, on the other hand, were a little more casual in our approach. In the service that Maggie and I would attend, we would walk in the doors to the sanctuary, and up would walk Mike Dunley, kind of rubbing his hands, and he'd say, hey, I need to talk to you. And then he'd say, hey, I need to talk to you, and I need to talk to you, to two other guys. We'd huddle in the back, and Mike would say, thanks for being here today. I need your help with communion. He would then continue and say that he and Bill were going to go down the sides, and Nick and Doug, since you wore sport coats today, you guys go down the middle. Isn't it funny how a certain job in church can start to gain appeal? Starts to seem like it's more special than another one. Or like we have going on at our house a lot right now, when you're told you can't do something, it becomes all the more appealing. I wanted to go down the side. Why did Mike keep getting to go down the side? He's in charge. He kept choosing it. It must be something better. So I would try to do things like I quit wearing a sport coat to church. Nope, still down the middle. He'd always have something like, well, your shoes are shinier than mine are, or you're a sharper dresser than I am. You're newer here. People like to see that. Always down the middle. Never once did he let me go down the side. But then I was called to be an elder. No longer down the middle, but now up on stage. About once a month, each of the elders in the church would serve at the table and bring a meditation for communion or offering. At that time, we had a tradition that new elders would start with offering meditations and observe the communion meditations by the other elder to gain confidence. I laughed to myself like this made it a lot easier on the new elders. Sure, the meditation for offering is usually shorter, and the prayer is an easy one to find an example for, a prayer of thanksgiving. But seriously, hey, new guy, jump up there and ask everyone in church for money, and I'll just talk about how much Jesus loves everybody. On one of the days I was observing, I was partnered with a gentleman named Brian. I was bringing the offering meditation, and he was bringing the communion meditation. Brian talked about growing up in a different denomination that celebrated communion only once a month. When he got married and he moved away, he joined a disciples congregation there in Laramie. He quickly realized that in the disciples congregation, communion was celebrated every week. He began to think, this is a bit excessive. He even started to worry that communion for him would lose its special meaning, being that it was celebrated so often. As young married couples do, they traveled back to see family often. And on one of their trips back home, they went to his home church. And it happened to be a Sunday that they weren't celebrating communion that day. It wasn't until that time in the service that he was expecting communion that he realized how much he was missing celebrating communion. Said at first it was just a little uncomfortable in his mind. But then this weird feeling in his gut started growing. And then a pounding in his chest that we were skipping something vital. And he didn't hear the rest of the message that day. He missed out on scripture. And he went home thinking, I miss communion. He realized, and he talked about that day in his meditation in front of church, that in his fear that something so special was losing meaning by being celebrated so often, he never realized that it was actually gaining meaning in his life. He said that today he questions only once a week. Today is World Communion Sunday. It's a tradition born out of an idea of unity, ecumenical outreach. It's a day when we say as Christians we come together and celebrate communion as one. But in our congregation that celebrates communion every Sunday and celebrates every Sunday at an open table where all are welcome, there might be a few of us sitting here today thinking, isn't World Communion Sunday every Sunday? Let's take a look back at our scripture reading and see what Jesus' message is for everyone. I'll be referring back to the reading from John, and we'll start with verses 25 through 27. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. We're joining the Gospel of John here shortly after Jesus had fed the masses with the loaves and fish. And it's the morning after the storm on the sea where Jesus walked on water and spoke to the disciples. The crowd is surprised to see Jesus where he's at. Jesus had left after the feeding, gone up to the mountain. The disciples had left on their boat. How is it that Jesus is now on the other side of the sea? How is he back? So they're asking, how did you get here? But Jesus has a bigger message to bring, and he has no time to discuss the details of how he goes from point A to point B. He just jumps right into his message. He is trying to explain to the people that they're missing his points. They're so enthralled with the physical things that have happened, the loaves and the fishes, that they aren't seeing the bigger picture. Jesus' message is not about actual bread. It's about God feeding their souls. Jesus' words, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, parallels the words of the prophet Isaiah. He's trying to reach them on their level. The words of Isaiah, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? We continue in verse 28 and 29. Then they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So the crowd is following. They're saying, okay, we'll see where you go with this. And they're understanding what he's saying. And they're wanting to know how to do what Jesus is telling them to do. See, at this time, the Jewish people believed that good works were a direct path to God. They could walk a path of good works and get closer to God. They believed there was good people and there was bad people. And then the rest of us, in between, could do good works and slide down that rule and move more towards good people and be closer to God. That we could gain favor with God by doing good works. So they wanted the secret. What do we need to do? Lay it out for us, Jesus. And Jesus just answers them, believe in my Father. Can't you identify with the Jews in this situation? It's so us as humans. I like what you're saying, and I want to do this in my life, but what's the shortcut? Or even less looking for a shortcut, we want details. We want a specific list of what we are to do. Do this, this, and this, and this. That way, I don't need to think about what I need to do, and I also don't need to worry that I'm off track. I've got the map right in front of me. I can parallel this in my life. I want to lose weight. So the doctor says, eat less and exercise more. That's a little too vague. Believe in God, exercise more. Well, how? What do I need to do? What specific things? I think I'll go look online for the one specific exercise to do each day and the new popular food item that I need to eat every day at lunch to burn belly fat. That way I can check the boxes and say, hey, I'm on the path to losing weight. That's what the Jews were wanting. What are the details? What? Just tell us what to do. Jesus' answer is seen as vague, but it's everything that we are as Christians. Jesus is telling the people to have faith. Once we do have that faith, our lives do change, and there are things to do to keep our relationship with God in order, but it's our faith in that relationship in God that seals us directly to Him. In verses 30 through 34, we read, "So they said to him, 'What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.'" The crowd's beginning to get a little frustrated here with Jesus. The message he's giving is going against their cultural beliefs, and now people are starting to get a little defensive. They have a strong belief that good works lead us towards God, and he's telling them, that's not what you do. But he's also giving us a very vague answer of believe in God. So at this point, their defensiveness essentially is leading them to say to Jesus, prove it. If you are who you say you are, and you bring the message of God, prove it. See, they were still stuck on the physical events that had happened in the days before. The physical events of the loaves of bread, and they connected that bread to the manna in the wilderness. Manna in the wilderness was considered one of the supreme works of Moses, and the belief was that when the Messiah came, the manna would again be given, only this time and in a manner that was even more, that was even bigger than what Moses had done. So the proof they were wanting was for Jesus to bring down manna from heaven right there and right now. The loaves for the thousands didn't count in their eyes because that bread began its journey on earth. It was earthly bread that Jesus multiplied. Bring down manna from heaven if you are who you say you are. Jesus replies to them, to their essentially them calling him out, with 2 points. First, he reminds the crowd that it was not Moses the man who brought down manna from heaven, yet it was God who sent manna from heaven. Second, the manna from God was not the bread of God. It was only a symbol of the bread of God. The bread of God was truly the one who was sent by God. not to give satisfaction of physical hunger, but to give life. In verse 35, we read then, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We know at this point from study and context and the rest of the story what the crowd didn't understand at that point. Jesus is not talking about actual bread. He can't make his point more clear to them, he feels. He's worked hard in his passage to make the point that it's not actual bread. But what about the other word in the beginning of the passage? "I am the bread of life." When we think of just physical bread, we think of the actual physical sustenance of life. We need to eat to live. We have to eat to stay alive. But Jesus is talking about our spiritual life. He's talking about a life in relationship with God, living in the light of God's love, a relationship that is made possible through the bread of God, Jesus Christ. For without Jesus, we have existence, but we do not have life. Every week when we come to church, every week when we come to the table, we celebrate that we are alive with Jesus. Our spiritual hunger is satisfied. Our hearts find peace, and our souls find hope. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is number 423, "Become to Us the Living Bread." Let's stand as we sing. As we leave today, don't forget there's a time of fellowship prepared for us downstairs. Remember, we were called to this table. We were all fed at this table. We were all united at this table. Now, We are sent from this table into all the world. Go, therefore, into the world with courage. Set a place for all who hunger. Fill the cup of all who thirst. And as you go, may the Spirit of power and love attend you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ uphold you. And may the great faithfulness of our God sustain you now and forevermore. Amen.